What sort of equipment do I need to use? You know, lighting, cameras, sound. Is that the most common question you get?
Oh, my God. Are you trying to push my hot buttons right now?
Well, that's my job.
Seriously.
It's got it. So they're sitting there listening.
Next time I see you, I'm going to smack you up the head.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. Today we're talking about video. We're also specifically going to talk about YouTube. And the reason for that is a friend of mine, Brian G. Johnson, has been entertaining me with his hilarious videos. And he's somewhat the expert on this YouTube thing. He's very keen on helping marketers get their message out there to take up that position on YouTube that they should be taking, and then getting people to do something. I like the thing about Brian's stuff is that he's a great educator, and you're inspired to want to do something after watching one of his videos. So I've asked him to come along and talk to us about some of the top tips that we can implement. So welcome to the show, Brian G. Johnson.
Hey, James, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, you've been cooking up some pretty good stuff over there on your YouTube channel, which is Brian G. Johnson TV. And I'll recommend we will put a link to that in our show notes, and hopefully people can go and have a look at what we're talking about today. But you've got a three-part framework that's been a passion of yours that you're sharing with other people. Perhaps we can go through that today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really my value proposition. It's something that I worked hard at to be able to, like, this is what I do. And absolutely, you know, stake your claim, amplify your message, and inspire action.
So why did you feel YouTube is the place that you should be at all? Why is it worthy of anyone's time?
Gosh, such a great question. You know, in the land of video streaming, it's such a big deal right now. We've got all these platforms. What's one of the newer live streaming platforms? I go blank. I'm such a YouTube guy.
Well, Facebook?
So, well, I think of Facebook as old school, and they've added it on. And I live streamed this morning. But here's the answer to the question, James. I've been publishing videos on YouTube that have gained me clients, that have sold products, that have brought brand awareness to what I do for years. And you simply really don't have that kind of longevity with the content you publish, to my knowledge, on any other platform except for YouTube. So that's a pretty exciting thing as an entrepreneur, to be able to create a piece of content that you publish today that can be driving views, traffic, leads, sales, and more for years into the future.
So basically, it's leveraged and it's taking advantage of the human obsession of watching video every day. Hours and hours of it, apparently, according to the research.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people dig videos. And another reason as far as why, for me, I actually did a video probably about 3 weeks ago. And the video was not so much touting that everybody should be doing video. I do think that there is a certain base level of video marketing skills that people should have, because I haven't seen a sales page or opt-ins. Most of them today anyway do have videos, and it's an important way to connect. But beyond that, what I like to talk about is, what is your content marketing superpower? We all have strengths and abilities. And for me, I kept hearing that I really enjoy you on video. Like, the way you come across is really fun. It's engaging. And after I heard that a number of times, I thought, you know, what am I going to do after my book Trust Funnel? Like, I launched my book Trust Funnel last year, and I started thinking, I keep hearing it out, this video thing. And I've been on YouTube for a long time, but I've never really focused on it. And that kind of drew me to focus on what people have told me is my strong suit. So, you know, one of the things I would share is that people will tell you what you're good at, and you can take a cue and really focus on one or two things. You know, there are some people that do it all. They're on Snapchat, and they're on Facebook, and they've got a book out. And for most people, I don't see that working. Let's just call a spade a spade. I see a lot of people that are into so many different things. And for me, what's worked over the years is to really focus and to get a platform up and running. So I do well at Facebook. I have engagement. I have followers. And now I'm kind of focusing on video and YouTube because it's people tell me I'm good at it. So content superpowers.
Right. So basically work with your strength.
Work with your strengths, man. I mean, you know, that's why you're going to get hired. Someone's not going to hire you because you kind of passed in math. Someone's going to hire you because of your charisma, your personality. Someone's going to hire you because of your ability to dive into analytics. Take those strengths and work with them.
Yep, cool. So if it happens to be video, by the way, have you ever seen a situation where someone's not good with video? They're not entertaining, they're not remarkable or outgoing, but they've still somehow turned it around and utilized the YouTube framework for their business?
Yeah. And the reason why is because it's very, very predictable. If you take a look at about three or four components of what makes a YouTube channel successful, and the first thing is search. And this goes back to kind of my strong suit. When I started out back in the day, there was no Facebook or Snapchat or LinkedIn. There was no YouTube. It was 2003, and the game in town was Google SEO. So I really cut my teeth on being able to create content that ranked in Google. And YouTube is there's so many similarities between how YouTube and Google work that anybody can, if they desire, can say, I'm going to get better at video. It might not be their strong suit, but they can say, you know, I see the potential. I want to move forward. I'm going to pay attention to search. I'm going to pay attention to learning how the discoverability engine works, how I can rank in search and whatnot, and then create a content a plan where they're uploading regularly to really gain a following and really address people's needs and wants. And that's the great thing about YouTube is that people have problems and we as entrepreneurs can provide solutions. And if they're searching on YouTube, a video can appear. If they're searching on Google, a video can appear and we can be that person to help them with that problem and solution.
Right. So if you're listening to this, you're a little bit shy or you're not sure about how to utilize it, there are still ways that you can take advantage of YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not get started and create a video and do a voiceover? You know, I mean, I did a voiceover yesterday, published it today. It did really well. I will also say I think there's something to be said about just staking your claim and deciding that, you know, you're going to conquer your fears and you're going to move forward. And if you're a bit shy, that's fine. But how bad do you want it? And I think sometimes you kind of got to kick that door down and go after what you want. And I know I do that all the time. And I sometimes get kind of freaked out about what I do on video because I often act a fool.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've set the bar to the side for someone who's not quite as quirky, if that's the right word, to feel comfortable. You do some zany stuff. And I think that's what's interesting. You're a very interesting person to watch, but you weren't always like that. I imagine you probably, when you uploaded your first few videos, you might have been worried about what people would comment or thumbs down, or you get some strange comments on YouTube videos, right?
Oh boy. Yes. You do get some strange comments. And it's funny. I talk about my early days on YouTube, and I don't know if I was like nervous about what people would think. I mean, we're always nervous of what people will think. Most of us, I think we want acceptance. I know I do. I also know I'm a lot further along on that journey than I used to be, and I care, but I'm not going to shape how I act and the things I do for other people, because what's more important to me is my personal happiness, and I enjoy the heck out of what I do. It's fun. I mean, work should be fun. I'm here to have a ball every day, you know? And I think that comes through when people are like, wow, you know, that's kind of crazy. But when I started, I can remember my first videos and they were so boring. Like, hi, my name is Brian Johnson. Welcome to my affiliate program. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like every other video you've seen by every other non-memorable marketer on the planet. And it just kind of like bleeds into the wall. And And over time, you know, you kind of mentioned, well, you know, maybe you were afraid to share this or that. I mean, I've always been quirky. I've always been kind of a little different and out there. And I've just gotten comfortable with being a marketer. And the thing for me, James, is when I dreamt of quitting the job, when I dreamt of what I would do for a living, it was exciting. It was fun. It was doing things that challenged me. And this idea of having a 9-to-5 was not part of it. And I grew up during Star Wars and James Bond, and I was a kid that enjoyed stuff blowing up. And I started really thinking about that. It's like, you know, you wanted a life of excitement and you wanted to do things that were kind of zany and fun. And yet you're an entrepreneur and you just turn on the video camera and then you turn into everybody else. Like, that's not congruent. That's not congruent with who you wanted to be when you were that little kid. So have the courage and the audacity to step forward and just be that guy, you know, and it doesn't always work out, but more times than not, it does. So that kind of has given me the courage to kind of continue on and see I can be me and I don't have to be like everyone else and I don't have to, you know, kind of be the typical, or I don't know, I can just do my thing and it works, you know?
Right. So we've covered why you might be interested in utilizing this framework or this marketplace. We've talked about the fact that it's leveraged. You've pointed out something essential to not be boring. That's a real crime, isn't it, to put boring content out there. What things do you do to make your videos so wacky? Is it natural Brian G?
Yeah.
Or is there something you can do? Is there any kind of a framework or process someone who's boring could go through to be not boring? And I'd put myself in that bucket.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody's boring. I mean, seriously, people are not boring. Each one of us on this planet, we have strengths and abilities. We're all different in our own unique way. And my thing is, like, be the person you want to be and strive to be the best version of yourself. You know, I don't see you as boring at all, James. I would beg to differ. And I bet you everybody listening to this podcast, like, James, no, you're James.
I remember there was a guy at a Las Vegas conference and he said, oh, he'd been listening to my podcast and I just had a monotonal drone. And I had similar feedback from my acting coach. Years and years ago, I did some acting classes. And when I watched myself back, it was quite obvious. I was just flatlining and it's hard for me to put more theater into my voice. And guys like you come along with, you're just like off the charts. So I think some people would see that and think, oh, I couldn't be like that. And that's a lot of this online entrepreneurship has to do with mindset and self-belief and the filters through which we see ourselves. And that's why I wanted to labor this point a bit.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, you know, having that self-belief, again, that's my stake your claim. Like, so many people, they want to know the best way to move forward. They want to know, how's the easiest way to do this? Or how should I step forward? And I wonder if it'll work for me. And my whole idea of staking your claim is deciding that it shall be. And when you approach life in this manner, when you say, you know what, I see so many other people having this success, I want that success too, I'm going to stake my claim and I'm going to announce to the world my intention. And when you make that, and it's hard, I mean, I'll tell you right now, it is hard to walk that walk and not a lot of people can do it. But I will tell you from my personal experience is that when you attack things in that manner, people want to be around that. People want to be a part of that. It's exciting. And to have that success that you want, you have to know in your heart that the success you desire will be. You have to know in your heart that you'll achieve that success. And when you do, people get a sense of that and they want to be a part of it. And I think that's been, you know, a part of of what I do. You know, people, I kind of say, well, I'm not inspirational. And someone said, wait a minute, you're very inspirational. I see myself so much as the guy that is quirky, and I love being quirky, but I can turn it off in a moment and I can say, you know, I can be inspirational because I just, I don't know. I've never had a problem with like being energetic or striving to be the best I could be or wanting to win. And I just think that if you want to do something, you can. You know, you don't need permission. There's no, you don't need to ask for permission. You know, who is it that talks about, who's the bald entrepreneur glasses?
Seth Godin.
Yeah, thank you. Seth's blog. And he talks a lot about like people wanting to be chosen. Like, if will you please share my thing on your blog, or in people wanting to be picked? And he's like, I don't do that. And the thing that we all can do is we can pick ourselves. And that just kind of goes back to the stake your claim thing where, you know, you just show up and you do the thing you want to do. Like, I mean, James, you know, you don't want to do what I do. It's not you, you know, nobody has to do what I do. If you do, if that is fun to you, if that zany personality of making people laugh, then do it. You know, part of what I do is I didn't see anyone doing it. It's like if I wanted to learn, well, actually, that's not true. Andy Jenkins, but no one did it like I did. I'm doing it. And that's just the thing about being who you can be, you know, and just showing up and being the best you can be.
It's a great message, Brian. And this is why I wanted you to share that, because someone listen to this needs to hear this right now, that it's time to stop wondering when someone will tap you on the shoulder and tell you, you know, you're famous now, or hand you that lottery ticket. We can go and grab whatever we want ourselves. We can do it. So it's very inspirational. I love your message about stake your claim. And I think we should move on to the next part of this, which is amplifying your message. I imagine when you're talking to people about YouTube video marketing, you're getting a lot of questions about what sort of equipment do I need to use? You know, lighting, cameras, sound. Is that the most common question you get?
Oh, my God. Are you trying to push my hot buttons right now?
Well, that's my job.
Seriously.
It's got it. So they're sitting there listening.
Next time I see you, I'm going to smack you up the head. Here's the thing. Good. Okay, I mean, you got me all worked up now. That's not what generates success. And it's the thing everybody focuses, oh, the white background and the kinetic text and that logo. It's a bunch of crap. And if you decide that you want to do that, because I'm doing it, like right now people are like, what the heck? He's totally not congruent. His videos are freaking, they're like dazzling. And there's text flying across and there's transitions. That's because I'm practicing my craft, and I decided to step up to the plate and be, again, the best Brian I can be. And if I'm going to start sharing about video marketing, well, I better be able to kick ass and make some pretty nifty videos that people dig. But I'll tell you what, when I made videos last year and I uploaded them to Facebook and I shot them on my iPhone and I edited them on my iPad, they were the same. They captured the same zaniness. They captured me incorporating things around me, like dump trucks going by. And instead of like cutting it out, I made that part of the whole thing. And it was fun. It's like people would comment, most people would cut that, but not Brian. He like sticks it in the video and makes it quirky. And because what really matters, And this is really what we got to talk about, because there is some stuff that's so exciting right now about YouTube, and I want to share it. But this is what matters. Your ability to create a video that delivers on the value that your thumbnail promised. So you make the thumbnail, it's all pretty, and then you've got your title. So you've got a picture, and you've got your video title, and basically you're promising value to somebody. And as soon as they click on the video, they're not thinking, I sure hope there's some awesome kinetic text. I sure hope this was shot with a Canon 70D with that really high-end autofocus. No, They want a solution to their problem, and you can do that incredibly well on an iPhone. And in fact, I've made lots of videos that have ranked, driven traffic, made. I've generated tens of thousands of dollars in affiliate promotions using a $2.99 app and an iPad. It was like Doodle Sketch, and I made this little, it was like a voiceover. I wrote on the screen, and it was like done in 30 minutes. And the reason I was able to generate those sales is because I was able to string together a coherent message that inspired people to act, and they did. So if you want to do that, that's fine. If you want to spend time on the kinetic text and all the equipment, that's fine. But if you don't have the skills and abilities to back that up, you will fail miserably, and I don't want to see that happen. So one of the things I always share is, like, if you want success with video marketing, it's imperative that you create a system that's duplicatable so you can publish often. Have you ever noticed, like, people that publish all the freaking time win? Like, James, you're a publishing powerhouse.
Yes. Well, we have a system for sure. We even published the whole thing for free at one point. And straight after this podcast, I will drag our audio file into a Google Drive, and I'll put a pretty picture of your wonderfully handsome face in there, and it'll just magically appear on my podcast and a day later. And that's the magic of a system. It's so easy for me to make content with that system.
Well, there you go.
In fact, just to speak to your point about low tech, I went to the shops the other day and I got myself a vent mounted camera holder for an iPhone, just because I do spend some time these days watching kids at events and things. So I thought I might make some videos. I just chucked it in there to test it, and I hit record, and I made an off-the-cuff video that was purely an example video just to check the framing. And the thing was loose. It was falling down. Had to keep pushing it back up, and there was no external microphone, nothing. It was just like a test. And when I got home, I looked at it, I thought, you know what? The content's actually quite good, so I'll just load it up to Facebook. And after 26,000 views, that video generated me quite a lot of sales of a product, and that was an unintentional video. It was almost an accidental video that I hadn't scheduled, planned, scripted, rehearsed, or anything. And people said, oh, we miss your videos. It was so fascinating to see the warm reaction to that, because people want to connect with who they're seeing there in online, and the characters they've listened to in podcasts or seen on blogs. It's nice to take it to that richer media level when you can.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like you said, you know, that's the power of having a system. And what's so scary for someone that is doing video at a higher level, you know, I never really made video my business. So it was really easy for me to do what you just did. And it was easy for me to get pretty great results as well, like you just did. And I think the reason we were able to do that is because we've practiced sharing our message, amplifying our message again and again and again. And then when the camera goes on, it's easy to create something that people enjoy. But what's sad is that when people get ahead of where they really are, and I don't know if there's an easier place to do that than with video. You go buy the expensive DSLR. I've got people asking me every day about how to do a white background video. And I got to tell you, it's like it took me a long time. If you look at the early videos on my new channel, they're horrible. I started with an iPhone. And I'm like, this is silly. I originally wanted to stick with an iPhone to prove this point. But I thought, you know, you're going to make 200 videos, and you could spend $1,000 now and have better quality. And that's why I stepped into the DSLR. But the difference is that I, to this point, I've created thousands of videos, low-tech videos, and I've had that experience to back me up and whatnot. And now coming on the other side, knowing what I had to go through to make my videos look good with the white background, the DSLR. It's like someone asked me, well, what is the DSLR setting? I'm like, I don't think you understand, friend. It's not a setting. It's like ISO and white balance. And white balance, you take a picture of this gray thing and then you set the shutter speed, and it's complex.
But you don't need that. And I think that's the point. I've taken all sorts of videos with iPhones, flip cams, normal digital cameras on movie mode, DSLR camera. I've got a great DSLR camera and lens and lights and mics and everything. But I think often, especially with the proliferation of this live streaming, it's not practical to take a studio with you out and about, you know, but you have a camera on you at all times. So if it comes down to capturing the content and the timeliness of amplifying your message, sometimes you work with what you got, right?
Well, absolutely. And at the same time, I'm not saying to be lazy or whatnot, and you aren't either, but to create a system that's simple. And like right now, I'm looking at my bookshelves and they're awesome looking. I've got like all these props that I use. I'm still a big rock and roll fan. I've got David Bowie up there, and I got the issue with Prince on it, who I've seen not hundreds, but dozens of times. And I've got signs and a subscribe pillow, and I've got all the books that I love to read, and I've got a hashtag sign, and it looks cool. And I can like stand in front of that. In fact, I did a live stream and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, this is where I live stream now because it looks awesome. And that's really that's a super easy win for anybody. I mean, take a half hour, an hour, order a few fun things from Amazon, organize your bookshelves, make the backdrop look appealing, and then you're good for like the next 100 videos, and then you can move forward.
It's great. Staging is just lovely. You know, put some time to it. We've done previous episodes on this Super Fast Business show with high-level video producers like Ryan Spanger talking about setup. I'm sure we've interviewed Gideon Shelwick before, and recently we talked about advertising on YouTube with Tom Breeze. So we've got all these dimensional additions that we can send people to get clued in on the studio gear and how to run their advertising and stuff. So let's just recap. We're staking our claim. We've gotten this. We're fired up. We know that it's important to be there. We're ready to make videos. We're going to conquer our fear. We're going to start with the tech we have that makes sense. We'll put some effort into it as we get more vested in it. How do we amplify our message?
Well, the first thing is to really understand how the platforms determine what content's going to do well and not. And one of the things that I'm blown away by is the transparency that YouTube has on the platform today. Now, I mentioned like coming from this background of SEO, and it was kind of like this gray hat thing. And I was, you know, there was Matt Cutts, and he was like kind of a good guy, but he might kick your ass. And I got like, I made tons of money, and I also had like heartaches with de-indexing. And today, YouTube makes readily available information on how to rank. In fact, there was a blog post on their creator blog back in 2012, in October 2012, and it says, you know, we've adjusted the YouTube search algorithm to reward videos that keep viewers watching longer over videos that drive clicks. And if you look back at the algorithm and where YouTube was prior to 2012, it was really easy to game because the algorithm was based on clicks, and you had a bunch of thumbnails with boobs and butts and people clicking on these thumbnails. And that's not really a good indication as to do people like this video. And when I wrote my book, Trust Funnel, I talked about the trust matrix and imagined one algorithm that kind of oversees all the big sites that matter, Amazon, Facebook, YouTube, Google, and they're all the same in that the thing that powers the algorithms is the people that are on the big sites. And what matters to YouTube today is how long do people watch your video? And over the last week and a half, I've really been kind of digging it into analytics because I've done the work. I've staked my claim. I've published 85 videos in 5 months, and like 10 of them are kicking ass. I'm like, they're ranking well, subscribers on a daily basis, views. And now I've got this data, and I'm kind of digging around, and there's this thing called relative audience retention, which is kind of wicked cool because it literally tells you how engaging your video is compared to other videos in the same niche on YouTube. Now, if you combine that It's like analytics telling you how your video is doing compared to other videos. With the statement that YouTube made in 2012, we reward videos that keep viewers watching longer. All of a sudden, you start to kind of have this crystal ball where you can publish a video and you can gauge how effective and how well it's going to rank on the search engine just by the scoring with the relative audience retention. And clearly, I am geeking out right now.
Yeah, man, you're tripping. That's good. But, you know, I wouldn't put it beyond my audience. We're a pretty sophisticated bunch over here. But I think there's a good portion people listening to this are not currently, you know, maxing out their YouTube channel. We've been building out our business channel by taking podcasts and putting pictures to them and quotes and starting to build out our portfolio. And I can see us adding videos again like we used to do about a year ago or 2 years ago now. We used to do one every day pretty much. I think we're going to go back to that at some point. But yes, that's helpful. So what you're really saying is refine based on analytics. See what's working, do more of what people respond to, and you'll get more impact. Is that how you amplify your message?
Yeah, to a degree. And to make it even easier, when you make a video, what happens in the first 2 minutes of that video is crucial on YouTube. And what I'm looking at is all my videos that are doing really well in search, they have above average relative audience retention score in the first 2 to 3 minutes, which now that I've seen the data, it makes perfect sense. Like, YouTube's not going to rank a video that's horrible in the first 5 minutes because everyone's going to abandon. So if you really take the time to create videos that hook people immediately and then you keep them watching longer than other videos, you get the ranking.
Right. So get it, hook them in.
Hook them.
What can we do to have people stick around in a video?
I'm so glad you asked, James.
Well, what can we do?
So what we can do is, one of the things I've seen is, first, you really are promising value, right? You've got your thumbnail, what we talked about. You've got your video title. And then in the first 15 seconds, it's your job as the entrepreneur to let people know, hey, you're in the right place. I'm going to deliver that value I promised. And I'll usually tell people right up front. I use the if then. It's such an easy hack, right? If you want to learn how to increase your watch time or rank in Google or do whatever, then make sure to watch this video in its entirety. And what I've also done, which has been super effective, is two different things. One is show them the end result. So recently I had a video that's crushing it right now on iMovie effects. And what I did was, I'm like, the video is about effects. And I told them, I'm going to teach you some wicked cool effects that are going to help you to create that thing you want. And then I showed them right in the beginning, like, this is what we're going to create in this tutorial. So I showed it was literally a video I created on my phone for a friend's birthday on Facebook. I didn't think anything of it. And I thought, that was a cool, quirky video that anybody could make. I'll do a tutorial on it. So I showed that, and then I shared how to do it later, and that really hooked people, and I had that solid audience, relative audience retention score, and above average view duration, and that was powerful. And here's the second tip, and this has been helpful too. I like to think of my audience as, there are some people that are smart, not smart, but they're really into algorithms. There might be other people that know they want to do better on YouTube, but if I say the word algorithm, their head's going to spin. What's he talking about? So I might be talking about, like, learn how to create videos that address the algorithm. And then on the screen, I might use text. And the text might say, so you can rank in YouTube and drive more views, which my audience, they all understand that. So really trying to understand how my audience thinks and communicate in a way that they understand easily. You know, I see a lot of people that are smart and they try to be smart and they use a lot of big fancy words.
Yeah, well, it's been advised of people who are trying to put across a message to use fairly easy to understand words, right?
Well, that's it works for me because more people can get it. You know, I want people to understand. I want it to be easy. And as far as being an educator, my ability to communicate in a way that my audience understands and is able to use and move forward is critical.
Perfect. So how do we inspire action?
Well, that's where the call to action is so much fun. And this is where I really don't have hard data, but I'm going to tell you my instinct, and it served me well. I think my quirkiness and my zaniness and my, I mean, I talk about it's really important for me to have fun. And I often communicate that in my call to action. Like, you never hear me say or read like subscribe today. It's something like subscribe today and you'll feed a poodle. And then you're going to see pictures of my poodles, and it's part of my brand. And it's a little like, what? Like, feed a poodle? And you might not quite get it, but you kind of do. Like, okay, I subscribe, and then you feed a poodle. And then the second time you watch a video, you get to know, okay, Brian's got poodles. And I think by having fun and lightening things up, like a call to action for me will be tossing a subscriber pillow around and making funny faces and playing some really upbeat music. And instead of having a guy sit there and pitch you for 20 seconds, nobody wants that. You know, it's the classic, everybody loves to buy, but nobody likes to be sold to. So if you can remove that stigma of selling and have some fun, it seems to be working well for me. And I will say that I've kind of been studying the number of subscribers to views I'm getting, and my numbers are really exciting.
Wow.
Like, I see other channels and I'm converting at a high level. And I think it's just because I act like a fool.
Well, no, I think there's something a little more sincere going on there. I actually think it's because you're genuine, you're entertaining, your content's great, you make it exciting to watch, you're learning something, and you've got this magnetic thing happening, which is why I really wanted to work on how others can stake their claim. Your claim's taken, but you're a different precious metal, and we can do our own thing, right?
That's it.
So we can put out our content. We can amplify it by making sure we're on topic. We're getting people stick around longer. We're in the right zone. We have a framework for getting more content out there easily. We set up our staging properly. You're inspiring action. You're making it fun for someone to do something. You know, if you want to feed a poodle, remember to head over to Brian G. Johnson TV on the YouTube channel and get into the action. Brian, this has been fun.
Hey, James, thanks for having me. Truly, it's been an honor and a lot of fun. I love talking about this stuff, and thank you for the opportunity to allow me to do that.
So if we put some funny music here, what would your call to action to someone listening to this be for their next move?
So you can join me over at Brian G. Johnson TV. And yes, James, when you subscribe today, you'll feed a poodle, and I've got two. They're very hungry.
Fantastic. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.